Good morning.
Good morning.
I am glad we added those additional chairs a couple of weeks ago. There is 100 people in here today.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and get started. The Bible is the inspired word of God.
Amen.
These verses are not more important than other verses, but they kind of tell a story. They tell a story that we're going to use, and the focus is about Jesus and how we should respond to this message of Jesus. Starting out in Matthew, this was the passage that Kurt read earlier in our scripture reading. And as Daryl said, it's one of the scariest passages of the Bible to me. Jesus is telling the people that are listening to him, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven.
Amen.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's the way you live. You've done some good things, but your lifestyle is one that does not match the law. In Mark, we have the account of the transfiguration. And it says in Mark 9:7, and a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. The voice of God, the voice of God says, this is my beloved son. Hear him. I think that would behoove whoever heard that to do that very thing. If the voice of God is coming to them saying, this is my son, listen to what he has to say. You should. In Luke, people that heard him and listened to him were amazed at his teachings. It says Luke 4:32, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Of course it was with authority. He was the Son of God. God told people, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. And one of the most familiar passages of the New Testament, people that aren't even in the church, that don't attend church, are familiar with this verse. John 3:16-17. This explains God. This is the story of the entire Bible.
Amen.
In two verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
This was the plan from the beginning of time. That God being God has to punish sin. If God did not punish sin, he would not be just. And God is just. He has to punish sin. But he loved us so much, he provided the sacrifice that we never could.
Amen.
In Acts, we see this gift being played out in real time. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, had delivered a message that this Jesus, the Son of God, who you should have listened to, who is the Savior, you killed. And when it clicked, they were heartbroken. They were beside themselves. And in verse 37, it says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here we see that plan working its way out. That God so loved the world, he gave his Son. And when they realized what they had done and the sin they had in their life, the remedy was to repent. Change. Don't keep going in the direction you're going. Change.
Amen.
And to be baptized. That remedy has not changed for 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. And it won't.
Amen.
That's the same remedy when you, when I realized I had sin in my life. The answer was repent and be baptized. It will be that way tomorrow. And it will be that way in another 2,000 years. In Romans, we see it, Paul explaining how it's done. And in Romans 6, verses 1 through 6, Paul was trying to explain this God's love to people. People that had maybe never even seen Jesus. And he's trying to explain this love and this grace that they've got at their disposal. Grace, as we've covered before, grace is a gift that we don't deserve. And there was nothing we could have done to deserve it. It was a gift from God. And some of the people in Rome were thinking, well, if by sinning we get this grace, I want as much grace as I can get. I'll just sin more. And Paul's correcting them on that. And Paul's asking, I love how Paul teaches through questions. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin, there's repentance, dying to sin, changing, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's repentance also. We become a new person. Our actions are different than they used to be. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Amen. That explains repentance. And it explains the escape that we have through baptism. That we leave that old self. We quit being that old person. Tracy talks about, there's a difference if you're not being baptized properly and if you don't repent, you go into the water, a dry sinner, and come up a wet sinner. And this passage goes right against that. In 1 Corinthians, Paul's explaining to the Christians there in Corinth, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now that we are Christians, this is our responsibility. It's our duty. Duty. We have to do this. To be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And by doing that, we can know that our labor is not in vain. It's not just for naught. Paul wrote another letter to the Corinthians, and he says in chapter 1, verse 9, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, amen, who delivered us from so great a death. We had a lesson based on this verse just a few weeks ago. Who delivered us, past, from so great a death, and does deliver us now, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us.
Amen.
In the future. He did, he does, and he will. Paul warns the people not to stray. So many of the verses we're using today, Preston used in his morning Bible class. There were people, it didn't take long for people to start straying from the truth. Paul had told them, stand fast, be immovable. The Galatians were not doing that. The Christians in Galatia were straying. And in chapter 1, starting in verse 6, Paul tells them, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed.
Amen.
There is one gospel, one message, and people were straying and they were starting to listen to different messages that was contrary to what they had been originally taught. And they were lapping it up. And Paul says, don't. You stand fast. Be immovable. And he's kind of telling, I'm shocked that you're straying so fast from the teachings you got. In Ephesians, he tells us how to do it. He tells us how to stand fast. How to not stray so soon from the gospel. But you've got to do it. In Ephesians 6, this is that section about the armor of God. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor. We've got a lot of armor and weapons at our disposal. We're going into battle for our souls. I don't want to get scary or anything. The devil, we're fighting for our souls. The devil's trying to keep you out of heaven. He wants you to go to hell. That's a little scary. Paul is telling us how not to go there. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's not going to come at you head on. He's going to fight guerrilla warfare against you. He's going to ambush you. He's going to have booby traps all around, catch you unaware. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. You wrap yourself around with truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Paul has told us how to stand firm, how to be immovable. And when we have all that armor and are fighting the devil with our fellow Christians watching our back, we're able to win. In Philippians, he tells the Christians in Philippi, we've seen the things we've got to do, but here is some mental and emotional, spiritual things we need to do. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. We've been talking about this concept in Wednesday night Bible class. How do you explain this peace that passes all understanding to somebody that doesn't have it? Those of us that have it, we get it. It's hard to explain. You can't explain that to somebody that doesn't have it, that so desperately wants it. They've got to be a Christian, and then they get it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Amen. And the peace of God, and the God of peace, will be with you. Number of things here. Tells us the things to focus our mind on. If our lives are involved in anything outside of those things, if we're involving our lives in things that aren't pure and lovely and noble, we're not doing what Paul is telling us to do to stay pure. And Paul doesn't tell us to do anything that he himself hasn't given us an example of. Paul's not one of those do as I say, not as I do. He says, and these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. He gave us an example. He gave us an example to follow. He's not telling us to do anything that we can't see that he did also. And closing up today, we'll end with the passage in Colossians. Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. How are you filled with the knowledge of his will? Just by sitting back and asking and waiting for it? It's called studying. It's called reading his word. Diving into his word. And not just reading it. Studying it. Be diligent to show yourselves approved of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's no way I could have crammed 2 pounds of bologna in a pound package today. I'm surprised I got that far, Preston. We will pick up in 1 Thessalonians and continue a verse or a passage, book by book, of the New Testament. Use this new year. Increase in the knowledge of God. Study God's word. God has given us his word for us. Study it. For as many people that are in here is as many different ways to study as there are. Find something that works for you. We've got a lot of tools out there. Get your little notebook. Write your own verses that mean a lot to you from each book of the New Testament. Newsflash, these aren't the only verses in the New Testament. These are ones I chose. You've got ones that you can choose. But you got to read them. You got to write them down. You got to choose them. Lesson is yours. We're at the beginning of a new year. Let's all increase in the knowledge of God and the things that we've seen, heard, received, and have seen Paul do. Let us do them also. If you need to respond to the invitation, If you've been studying and realize that you have sin in your life and that you need to put your Lord on in baptism, we've seen verses. We've seen God's word that said we need to be baptized to be saved. If you need to repent of sin in your life, I urge you to repent. If you need prayers by your brothers and sisters, please let that be known. Whatever your need, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.